Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. As I was thinking about what to say today in my sermon, I came across a hymn in the hymnal. I usually don't try to read poetry to people because I don't do too good a job of it, but it speaks so well to today's gospel that I want to share it with you. This is a hymn which is attributed to St. Andrew of Crete, but we aren't sure who wrote it. Christian, dost thou see them on the holy ground? How the powers of darkness rage thy steps around? Christian, up and smite them, counting gain but loss in the strength that cometh by the holy cross. Christian, dost thou feel them, how they work within, striving, tempting, luring, goading into sin? Christian, never tremble, never be downcast. Gird thee for the battle. Watch and pray and fast. Christian, dost thou hear them, how they speak thee fair? Always fast and vigil, always watch and prayer. Christian, answer boldly. While I breathe, I pray, peace shall follow battle, night shall end in day. We begin this first week of Lent with the story of our Lord's temptation. And it is very important that we understand and take the story of the temptation seriously. For our Lord and Savior was not simply God of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds. He was also very man, born of the Virgin Mary in time. And the incarnation, the reality of Christ taking our human nature upon him, is the crucial doctrine of Christianity. For if Christ had not brought us back, reunited us with the Father, then we would be still in our sins. No created being could have saved us. And so the temptation of our Lord is a very real temptation. It's not just a sort of puppet play where the devil comes and he says his thing and our Lord isn't moved at all by anything, and he replies and this sort of sparring match goes on. No, our Lord really was hungry. The possibility of being the conquering Messiah, having all the kingdoms of the world in submission to the king in Jerusalem, that was a real temptation. The possibility of showing his miraculous power, just to call attention to the power he had and not to accomplish the good for others, that was a real temptation. And as he was tempted like us, but without sin, he provides for us the example and the perfect answer to the temptations that we experience. Now, in the hymn, we saw the temptations were put into two different classes. There are temptations that come to us from without. There are temptations that come to us from within. And we need to be on watch against both of these. For sometimes it may be easier to cope with the temptations without. Maybe not easier, but at least we know we should cope with them. The sorts of things when somebody makes you angry, when somebody does something to you, and you just feel that injured pride, which is at the root of all sin, you probably know that you shouldn't respond, you shouldn't get angry, you shouldn't say the nasty thing, you shouldn't cut the person cold, you shouldn't, what is it, they don't call it stealing anymore, they call it liberating. Well, you know you shouldn't do those external temptations. And I hope that by prayer and self-discipline, you fight against them. There is an ancient discipline going back to the early days of the church, which is called custody of the eyes, avoiding sights that might lead you into sin. Not looking at the magazines at the checkout lane in the grocery store, if you find that sort of art disturbs you. Just keeping a control of what you allow yourself to see, what you allow yourself to hear. These are things that you can control. You're not a helpless victim of the advertising and everything else that goes on around you with its appeal to lust of the flesh and pride of life and lust of the eye. You can control your environment at least to a certain extent. And increasingly in our pagan society, taking charge of what you see and hear, as well as of what you say, is an important spiritual discipline. Sometimes I've rather, perhaps almost blasphemously, thought of the Lord's Prayer that lead us not into temptation, because I can take care of that on myself by myself just fine. This is what happens when we don't discipline ourselves. And then, even if we do control our environment, even if we take custody of our eyes and our ears, yet there are internal temptations. There are memories, things that we just can't forget or don't want to forget. I have said before that I once had a parishioner who kept telling me, "Oh, well, what that person has done to me is just so terrible, I can't possibly forgive them." And having heard this a number of times and having told the person they needed to pray that God would help them get to a stage, they finally said, "No, I just, you know, it doesn't matter whether I pray or not, I just can't forgive them." And I finally had to say, "Well, I'm sorry. You have two choices. You forgive them, or you go to hell. Your choice." It's just that simple. These emotions, this refusing to, after all, you ask God to forgive you just the way you forgive other people. So if you've got somebody you just can't possibly forgive, as we say, tough cookies. There's, you know, God can't possibly forgive you. That's what you ask him to do, and he'll answer your prayer. we struggle with these temptations, and we have to approach them differently. There are times when these memories, these passions, come to us unbidden from within. And remember, being tempted is not a sin. Our Lord was tempted and without sin. Having the temptations, whether from without or within, is not sinful. Enjoying the temptation, entertaining the temptation. I'm not going to say that nasty cutting thing, but oh, it would be so nice to. Now we're moving away from just having a temptation. We're dallying with the temptation. And the problem is, of course, that the more you think about doing something, the more you finally perform the action, almost without knowing it. When these sorts of temptations assail us, particularly within, with memories or events that are happening, then prayer is the only thing that can help. And it may just be a prayer of desperation. It may be a prayer where you just simply say, God, help me. And you realize, I can't pray like I need to pray. All I can do is just hang on to the cross as the waves threaten to drown me. I'll hold on to the cross. And then you realize, I can't even do that. It's God who is giving me the strength to hold on. The more you practice this sort of calling on God, the more you practice being aware of your dependence on God, then the more successful you will be in the battle against temptations from without or from within. And notice in the story of our Lord's temptation, he relied on God's word to answer the temptation. And he refused to enter into sparring matches over which verse could you quote back and forth. He took the simple, clear verses. And there are plenty of them in Scripture. And if we take them and hide them in our heart, then we will find that they come to us in a time of need. That a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, they will come to us. Because we have listened to God in those quiet times. And so we can go into the battle armed with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and protected by our faith. May God give us grace during this Lenten season to strive manfully against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So that we may come with joy to the great events of Holy Week and the triumph of our Lord's resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.